The following is a presentation of Mountaintop, a church of many nations in many locations. For more information, email us at info@ccmountaintop.org.
Every generation has its iconic figures. Iconic figures, figures who are heroes, who represent the signs of their times. You think about people like Al Capone and John Dillinger back in the Prohibition. You think of Clark Gable and Joan Crawford. You think of the Iron Lady, Margaret Thatcher and Henry Kissinger back in the Cold War. People like Elvis Presley and Darling You Send Me, Sam Cooke. Dr. Martin Luther King and JFK during the Civil Rights era. There's Muhammad Ali and Smoking Joe Frazier. There's Michael Jordan and the great Wayne Gretzky, and of course Bill Gates and Steve Jobs. And then we have someone like Jackie Robinson, number 42, the first person to break the color barrier in Major League Baseball in 1947. A four-letter college athlete at UCLA, a Army veteran, actually an officer in the Army who is honorably discharged, a man of impeccable character, and a believer of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Icons of our generation. But I would tell you that there is another icon to come who surpasses all icons. Ladies, he is probably a combination of Denzel Washington and Brad Pitt. He has the body of The Rock. He has the charisma of Nelson Mandela. And he has the popularity of Justin Bieber. And the mind of the great, late great Winston Churchill. His name? Revelation calls him the beast. Paul calls him the Antichrist. Jesus calls him the abomination of desolation. And before I go any further, let me clarify, his name is not Barack Obama. But he could be literally on the scene today. And why do you say that, Pastor Rob? I believe he's an undercover brother like no other. But why do you say he's possibly on the scene? Because I believe, and many believe, that we are living in the end days, the end times. Here at Mountaintop, we call it the bottom of the ninth. The game is almost over, and the time is almost ended. Jesus talked about the signs of the times in Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 14. He talked about wars. He talked about rumors of wars. He talked about earthquakes and tribulations. He talked about false prophets. Do you know the UN today says that there's at least 12 major wars that are going on in the world today? Just last week in Middle East, we saw an earthquake of 7.8 magnitude that shook the Middle East. Just yesterday, we saw an earthquake 7.0 in Sichuan, China, that killed almost 200 people and injured over 5,000 people just yesterday. 14 people dead at a fertilizer plant explosion. 3 people dead, more, 4 people actually, and over 170 injured at the Boston Marathon. H1N1 virus, are you kidding me? We saw in history in 70 AD that Rome defeated Israel, bringing down the nation. The nation disperses. But Bible prophecy says that in some period of time, that Israel would come back together as a nation, that people all over the world who were dispersed would come back again as a people. Do you know that happened in 1948? Israel was reborn miraculously. Technology beyond anything we could ever imagine. Barry, do you remember in college in the early 80s, a computer would fit, a computer took up a whole room. Now it fits in the palm of your hand. We're coming towards the end times. Tell somebody next to you, say, the world is pregnant because I feel the birth pains. It's the end times. We're looking at the end. And I would tell you that we don't preach this to scare you, but to prepare you. Because the Bible says that we should be watchful and alert. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He's like a roaring lion seeking to whom he shall devour. So we live in these times, these treacherous, perilous times. And Scripture is very clear that out of these times that a leader will emerge. Pastor Rob, this sounds like fiction. How many know sometimes truth is stranger than fiction? That a leader will emerge. Jesus talked about this leader. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew 24, verse 15. The man of the times. The man of the times. The Word of God talks about an antichrist or one who is against Christ. Literally against Christ. A counterfeit of Christ. How many know that Satan cannot create anything new on his own? He can only counterfeit that which is already created. Or defame, that's what it is. An antichrist, a political leader who will set up a covenant with Israel, but when it's all said and done, will break the covenant and seek to be worshipped himself. The lawless one. Jesus said it this way. If you have your Bibles, Matthew 24, verse 15. So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one in the housetop go down to take anything out of the house. Let no one in the field go back to their cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Messiah, or there he is, do not believe it. For false messiahs, false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you ahead of time. So if anyone tells you that he is out in the wilderness, do not go out. Or here he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather. Father, we thank you for this foretelling and forewarning, God, of these times that are upon us, Lord. And God, we ask that you would awaken our minds and our hearts to what is going on, not just in our nation, but in our world. That our eyes, that our spirits would be alerted to your coming. And we thank you, God, we look forward to that promise that you will come again. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Give somebody a high five, say this is going to be good. Now, for some of us, this might be strange new news, but there's nothing new under the sun, and God's word, prophetic word, was written so that his children, that his people, would understand the times. We talk about the man of the times, the Antichrist, the beast. His number is 666, the lawless one, filled with the spirit of the falling angel, the devil, Satan himself. And as this person begins to come on the scene, there is going to be an emergence of things. There are going to be some things that we will see be represented. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about these things this morning as Christ describes them. First of all, the emergence of the Antichrist represents a time of desecration. A time of desecration. Verse 15 says it this way. So when you see standing in the holy place, the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. So what is this holy place? Now, I don't know, do we have a picture of that, Amy? But the holy place represents, actually, it represents a part of Israel. It is the Temple Mount. Now, that right there is the Dome of the Rock. That is actually one of the three great mosques in the world. The third great mosque in the world. And it sits in the middle of the Temple Mount. The Temple Mount is really about 16 acres of land that was always secured by Israel and the Jewish people as a place of worship. Since the beginning of times, we've had Jews worship there. We have Christians worship there. We have Muslims worship there. Even Roman pagans worship on this part of this land, 15 acres. Today, it is controlled by Islam. It is controlled by Muslims. That actual Dome of the Rock was built in 62 CE by Muslims. And now it's totally controlled. And they are against the Jewish people coming back on their property. They are against the building of a new Jewish temple that was brought down in 70 AD. But scripture says that in the last days, there will be a new temple that will be built on that land. And even today, there are negotiations and there are people groups, Jewish people, who are trying to get their foothold back on that land. What will probably happen is some type of military conflict where the Muslim Islamic forces of that place will be brought down. But guarantee this, there will be a new temple there. Why is that important? It's important because the Bible says that in that holy place, at that new temple, that there would be a man of desolation, abomination of desolation. He will come at that time. He will stand upon that temple at the midpoint of the tribulation, and he will declare himself God and call the world to worship him, call the world to bow their knee towards him. And at that time, the world will get just the leader that they have been aching for. Someone that will come out from themselves, exerting control over not only Jerusalem, but over the 10 formed nations of the world. What are you talking about, Pastor Rob? Sounds so strange. Well, Daniel says it this way. Daniel 11:31, his armed forces, talking about this Antichrist, will rise up to desecrate the temple fortress and will abolish the daily sacrifice. Then he will set up the abomination that causes desolation. Daniel 7:24, the 10 horns are 10 kings who shall rise out of the kingdom. The Roman Empire could be 10 nations out of the Europe Union, and another shall rise after them. He, the Antichrist, shall be different from the first ones and shall subdue three kings. Daniel is talking about the abomination of desolation that will return to Israel upon this new temple, upon this land that is dedicated to God and call himself God. Now, there was a foretaste of this that happened early on in the history of Israel. There was a Roman ruler named Antiochus Epiphanes. He was the most evil ruler Israel had ever encountered. He actually raised up an altar of Zeus on that Temple Mount to be worshipped. He killed pigs, which are an abomination to Israel, and made the priest drink his blood. He was such an evil ruler that after he was destroyed, the Israelites formed a holiday. Do you know what it's called? It's called Hanukkah. To remember the defilement and to remember the bringing down of such a wicked man. The Antichrist, the beast, the abomination of desolation will be so brazen I can almost hear him say, out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole. I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In the midst of circumstance, I shall not wince nor cry out loud under the bludgeonings of chance. My head is bloody but am bowed. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged the punishments to scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. He will declare himself Lord. End times, end days, Antichrist. It will be a time of desperation. Look how Jesus describes this in verse 16 through 20. He says, and let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the housetop go down to take anything out of his house. Let no one in the field go back to get their cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days, talking about the tribulation period, which is and I'll talk more about it in another sermon. It's a 7-year period where the Antichrist will take control. Pray that your flight will not take place in the winter or the Sabbath. This, how many know God? This is God's way of telling people something. And you know what he's saying to us? He's saying, if you ever see him, to run. To run. Don't worry about getting a tote. Don't turn off the lights. Don't worry about locking up or making a sandwich to go. Go. Y'all know. Ray Charles said, hit the road, Jack. And don't come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more. What'd you say? Oh. It's time to go. A time of desperation. This leader will influence every nation on the planet. But the greatest danger will be those who actually live in Jerusalem, because he hates God's people. He hates the Jews. He hates Jesus Christ. He hates the body of Christ. And his own reason for being here is to seek, kill, and to destroy. Listen, when you face the abomination of desolation, it will cause so much internal desperation that you will run to get to another destination. Y'all want to hear that again? In other words, fear will make us flee, and flee we will indeed. I was thinking about this. I remember a few years ago, I let Jonah, he was begging me, "Babe, Dad, can I go trick-or-treat? Dad, I'm not into that trick-or-treating thing, but Dad, can I go trick-or-treat? Dad, can I go trick-or-treat?" So I let him go with some friends, and I made sure he didn't dress up in something ghastly, but I was still a little bit concerned, so I followed him through the neighborhood. And of course, a couple of times he said, "Dad, I see you, man. I see you, Dad." So I said, "Okay, you think you see me?" So he's walking with his friends. I decided to do something. I decided to hide in the bushes. And it was dark. It was dreadful outside. And then he walked by, and I jumped out of the bushes. That dude and those friends, they forgot about their candy. They forgot about their fun. They forgot about one another. And they just started running. Listen, how many know sometimes the best thing you can do is run? When you see evil, when you see dreadful times, don't look back. Don't delay. That's what Christ is saying. When you see him coming, don't delay, but go. It is a time of devastation. Look what Jesus says. And he's talking, I believe he's talking right now about that tribulation. And I don't believe we're at the tribulation point, but we are in times and we're moving towards this tribulation. But he says, for then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. For the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. You know, we are a society on the verge of collapse. Did you know that? Good has become evil, and evil has become good. Our moral fabric is beginning to disintegrate. Our dollar is ready to collapse. Millions of our jobs are going overseas. Our homes have been taken by corrupt banking institutions. Hollywood and the music industry, That's why I don't allow it in my house, have flooded our consciousness and souls with what most would describe 50 years ago as abominations, praying and helping to propagate a fatherless generation of rebels, abortionists, sexual deviants, and me-only misfits. But guess what? We ain't seen nothing yet. The verses here picture a total destruction, an end of the tribulation period. Revelations talks about seals being broken, horns being sounded, bowls being turned over. It talks about death and famine and pestilence, the sea turned to blood, hundreds of millions dead, the birds whose bellies are gorged over the dead that they are eating. It is terrible times. And as the enemy continues to create this chaos in the world, democracy, as we know, will crumble. There will be globalization, a one-world government, a one-world economy, a one-world religion under the direction of one leader, the beast, who rolls the dice of destruction that 666 and the world craps out. That's what it's talking about. The end times, devastation. And not only devastation, it will be a time of deception. Jesus says, at that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Messiah, there he is, do not believe it. For false messiahs, false prophets will appear and perform great signs, wonders to deceive. It's possible, even the elect. See, I have told you ahead of time, so if anyone tells you there he is out in the wilderness, do not go out, or here he is in the inner rooms, do not believe. And I think about some of the false prophets and some of even the soothsayers and the magicians that we have seen. People like David Blaine and his levitation trick. People like Chris Angel walking through walls and gates. Religious leaders who are selling nothing but a prosperity gospel. False prophets. And why? Because we long to believe someone. We long to see change. We listen to all these voices, but we fail to hear the voice of God. And why do we fail to hear the voice of God? Because we fail to get into his word. Well, Pastor Rob, who has time to read his word? Exactly. And that's why so many in the body of Christ will be deceived. Look at someone next to you and say, you got to know the word. 2 Thessalonians 2, 7, 9, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains the Holy Spirit will do so until he is taken out of the way, and then the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, miracles, lying, and wonders. This is why I believe that the true believer during the time of the tribulation and when this leader emerges, I believe that the true believer will not be here. Because the Bible says that the only thing that is resisting him right now and restraining him is the Holy Spirit. Aren't you glad you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? And if you are the temple of the Holy Spirit is within you, and God uses his church to restrain evil across the world. But the Bible says that one day that he will lift his spirit from the face of the earth, and then the enemy will be revealed. Look at somebody next to you and say, I'm going to be gone. I ain't worried. Don't you worry about a thing, mama. Yeah. The Antichrist, he will appear performing miracles. He will require everybody on earth who is left. And there will be, I will believe that there will be those who are left who will come to a knowledge of Christ. And they will be indeed persecuted. The Bible says he will cause everyone to be able to, to get the number 666, that they will not be able to buy or sell without that number, which seals their fate. The Bible says he will have a religious spokesman. He will be a prophet that comes to partner with him, this leader. Revelation says that I saw another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, spoke like a dragon, and he exercises all authority. Not one is bad enough, but now you got two working together. And he causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast with deadly head wound was healed. In other words, Revelation 13 talks about this Antichrist who will have this deadly blow. He will appear to be dead and gone and buried. And this prophet will raise him up from the dead. Another counterfeit. Now, y'all might think I'm silly, but when Michael Jackson died, I almost was looking for him to come back. Why? Because the scripture talks about these signs, these wonders, these things that kind of tickle our ears and get us excited. But praise be to God, Jesus leaves it this way. He says, despite all of it, it will be a time of divine demonstration. Yes, indeed. Because the Bible says, for as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Talking about Christ himself. Wherever there is a carcass, there will the vultures will gather. Revelation 19, 11 through 21 says, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Listen, this is good news, church. Listen. His eyes were as flame as fire. And on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen and white and clean. And out of his mouth come a sharp sword. That's what he should smite the nations, and he shall rule with them with a rod of iron. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. It is Jesus Christ. Listen, you won't have to look for him on Facebook. You won't have to pull him up on YouTube. You won't have to find him on the internet. The Bible says that he will come like lightning from the heavens to smite the earth. So listen, don't be like the vultures of society who are so busy eating the carcass of what they think will satisfy that you miss the only one who can bring you peace or contentment, the Son of Man. What should I do, Pastor Rob? But let me end it this way. Yeah, we tell you this not to scare you, but to prepare you, to get you ready as Craig comes. Because the Bible says, 1 Peter 5:8 says, be alert and sober mind. Your enemy devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So what do we do as the church? How can we be alert? A is very quickly. Ask yourself, and some of you need to ask yourself, am I ready? Am I ready? If the sky would pull back and he would come, can you say this morning that I'm ready? I'm right with God. I know I'm ready, God. Hallelujah. Linda and I were talking about it last night. Because we were wondering, I was wondering, Linda, are we going to be married when we get to heaven? I love my wife, amen. I wouldn't mind being married to her when I get to heaven. She said, you know what? I think we're going to have a mansion together. I was like, go ahead. You know. Our friends and loved ones. Oh, God. You know what? I told Linda last night, I said, my mom is probably in charge of the white thrift store where the people get all their beautiful clothes. I know my mom is in charge of that place in heaven because she was right with God. Let me ask you, are you right with God? Do you know that you know that you know? Now, I didn't say, are you coming to church? I said, do you know that you know that you know that you're right with God? That the Spirit of God dwells in you. You might can fake it, but you surely won't make it. Ask yourself, Do you know him? No, don't, no, not do you know about him. Do you know him personally? Is what a friend we have in Jesus. Glory be to God. Do you know him? Listen, do you know him? Ask yourself. And if you don't, look to him. Look to him. He says, peace I give to you, not as the world gives. I give to you. Peace for your eternal soul. And then expect his return. Yeah. Look forward to it. Glory be to God. He gonna take us out of this place. Glory be. I was talking to my barber the other day. I was talking to my barber. He has all these pains in his back, pains in his stomach. You know, he reads all through Daniel. He's all these prophets, but he's got such a bitter attitude. He loves the Lord. But he said, Pastor Rob, I wake up every day saying, God, come and get me out of here. But listen, we can expect his return with joy, amen? With joy, amen? How many know? It's good to know. Listen. I was playing baseball yesterday with my team, and I was facing this team, and we were down 8-2 in the first inning. All right? This is the first inning. It ain't even the bottom of the ninth. We're already down 8-2. But I saw that team on the other side, and I pulled my boys together, and we had a doubleheader that day. I pulled my boys together. They came off the field. I said, we ain't going to lose today. No, listen. Some of y'all need to tell the devil, I ain't going to lose today. I ain't going to lose today. Because I was meant to be a winner. Amen? And I expect Jesus to come take me out of here. I'm going to be a winner. Amen? I don't know about you. And then rest in his grace by faith. It's not by our works. Listen. Oh, Pastor Rob, I'm scared to let go. Let God. I'm scared to surrender my... Listen. For by grace through faith, you have been saved. It is a gift of God. Receive the gift. Receive it. But this is the last thing. And this is the thing that so many of us miss. Look at somebody next to you. Say, he's talking about you. Yeah, you that somebody. Amen. This is the part we miss. We call ourselves alert, but guess what? We don't tell nobody. We don't tell nobody that he's coming again. We don't tell nobody all this stuff that is happening is just what God has already prophesied. It's the end of the times. But listen, in Christ, you are an overcomer. Victory is mine, thus saith the Lord. Amen. So tell somebody. Yeah, we're going to ask you to tell somebody. In your bulletins, open up your bulletins for a second. There is an index card in there. I talked about this a couple weeks ago. And if you're serious, if you believe what is going on, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to take that index card home. I want you to put 5 names on it that of people you know who don't know Christ, who need the Lord, who are lost. Amen. And I'm going to ask you to bring that back next week, and we're going to pray over all those cards. Amen. We're going to set up an altar here. Amen. With these people who don't know Christ. Let's look at somebody next to you. Say, you better tell somebody. Stop messing around. Amen. Write down those names. We're going to pray for this. We got, why? Because we mean business for the Lord. Amen. These are end times. We don't know. Listen, I think I have dreams for my children, for my grandchildren. But the reality is this. No man knows tomorrow. Only God knows when he will send his son again. It could be today. Glory be to God. So don't waste time. I want you to bow your heads with me. Close your eyes. You might be here this morning. I thank God for each and every one here this morning. Thank God for you. Each and every one. You are special in the eyes of God. You have been created in his image. He loves you. He has a personal plan for your life. He has shaped you for destiny. He has shaped you for eternity. But some of you need to stop playing around with God, playing around with the things of God, playing around in the house of God, playing around with the gifts of God. And you need to take a moment and get your life right with God to be sure that you know that you know that you are saved. And not only that you're saved, but you're walking with a lifestyle that is pleasing to God and a lifestyle that attracts others to him. Now, I want to ask you something. Do you know for sure? Are you ready? If you don't think you're ready this morning, if you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm ready. I don't know if right now if my relationship with Christ is right. I'm not sure if the Spirit of God lives within me. But I know that God sent his son, Jesus, as a Savior for me. And today I need to get ready. I need to get ready. Pastor Rob, would you pray for me today? I need to get ready. If what you're saying is true, I know I'm not ready, but today I need to get ready. I need to receive Christ as my Savior that I can be sure. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If that's you this morning, you say, Pastor Rob, pray for me that I can know that I'm ready, that I can receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Would you lift your hand? Anybody like that this morning? God bless you, young lady. Put your hand down. Anyone else like that this morning? That is being sincere. Amen. Anyone else? I see that hand up. Put that hand down, young lady. Anyone else here this morning? Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else here this morning? Let's take a moment. Anyone else? All right. Last thing here. Every eye closed. If you're here this morning and you're going to take this admonition I said and be serious about writing down some names of friends and family that don't know the Lord that we can pray for. If you're saying, Pastor Rob, I'm committed to do that, would you lift your hand? Anybody ever do that this morning? Come on, come on. Come on, guys. Thank you. Hallelujah. I see those hands lifted. Thank you, God. As you lift up your hands, just keep your hands lifted high. Matter of fact, I'm going to pray this prayer right now for those. Father, for those who are lifting their hands right now, I pray that you would bring to mind, God, every friend, every family member that doesn't know you, God. Right now, we take forth the challenge, God, to reach those who don't know you. First and foremost, through prayer, God, we intercede for them right now. As we bring these names back next week to an altar, God, we pray that you would honor that and people will come to know the name of the Lord. Put your hands down. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. The two young ladies that raised their hand, I'm going to ask if you would do something. If you would just stand right now. If you would just stand right now. And I want you to come here right now. Just come in real quick up to the front. I'm Linda. If you would come here, Linda. Come here, Kelly. Come here. Amen. Amen. Guys, I'm going to just take a moment. I want to pray with these ladies. Amen. I want to pray with these ladies. Would y'all pray with me? I'm going to just pray with the Father, I thank you for these beautiful women of God. Father, I thank you, oh Lord, that they are responding to you today. Father, I thank you, God, that you love them. And Father, that the best is yet to come for their lives. They have seen nothing yet. You have created them and destined them for glory. And Father, I pray for these days in their life, God, as they submit themselves to you, God, that you will cause your face to shine upon them. And Lord God, I'm just going to ask them to pray with me and say, Dear God, I thank you for loving me. I confess my sins. I ask that you forgive me. Jesus, be my Savior and be the Lord of my life, that I will follow you, God, all the days of my life. And I thank you for my salvation. And I thank you for blessing me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Church, let's give God a praise. Love you. Love you guys. Love you. Take it. Father, we just thank you, God, as we close this service this morning. Lord, we pray that we would go out with great expectation, excitement about you, Lord God, that we, our voices would be loud and strong, proclaiming the praises of him who brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We thank you for our family, oh Lord God. We thank you for our times. God, continue to help us to be alert, to be aware, that we might magnify you and glorify you in all things. The church say amen. God bless you. Have a great day, and Lord, amen.